Krishna Book, Canto 11, Jarasandha, Chapter 49, Scene 1. Krishna defeats Jarasandha for the first time. After his death, Kamsa's two wives became widows. According to Vedic civilization, a woman is never independent. She has three stages of life. In childhood, a woman should live under the protection of her father. A youthful woman should live under the protection of her young husband. And in the event of the death of her husband, she should live either under the protection of her grown-up children, or if she has no grown-up children, then she must go back to her father and live as a widow under the father's protection. It appears that Kamsa had no grown-up sons. After becoming widows, his wives returned to the shelter of their father. Kamsa had two queens. One was named Asti and the other Prapti, and both happened to be the daughters of King Jarasandha, lord of the Bihar province, known in those days as Magadha. So after reaching home, both queens explained their awkward position following the death of Kamsa. The king of Magadha, Jarasandha, was mortified upon hearing their pitiable condition due to the slaughter. And when informed of the death of Kamsa, Jarasandha decided on the spot that he would rid the world of all the members of the Yadu dynasty. Jarasandha decided that since Krishna had killed Kamsa, the whole dynasty of the Yadus should be killed. So Jarasandha began to make extensive arrangements to attack the kingdom of Mathura with his innumerable military phalanxes, consisting of many thousands of chariots, horses, elephants, and infantry soldiers. Jarasandha prepared 13 such military phalanxes in order to retaliate the death of Kamsa. Taking with him all his military strength, Jarasandha attacked the capital of the Yadu kings, Mathura, surrounding it from all directions. Lord Sri Krishna, who appeared as an ordinary human being, saw the immense strength of Jarasandha, which appeared as an ocean about to cover a beach at any moment. Krishna also perceived that the inhabitants of Mathura were overwhelmed with fear. Krishna began to think within himself about the situation of his mission as an incarnation and how to tackle the present situation before him. Krishna's mission was to diminish the overburdened population of the whole world. Therefore, Krishna took the opportunity of facing so many men, chariots, elephants, and horses. The military strength of Jarasandha had appeared before Krishna, and so Krishna decided to kill the entire force of Jarasandha so that they would not be able to go back and again reorganize their military strength. While Lord Krishna was thinking in that way, two military chariots, fully equipped with drivers, weapons, flags, and other implements, arrived for Krishna from outer space. Krishna saw the two chariots present before him, and so he immediately addressed his attendant brother, Balaram, who was also known as Sankarshan. "My dear elder brother, you are the best among the Aryans. You are the Lord of the universe, and specifically, you are the protector of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty sense great danger in front of the soldiers of Jarasandha, and they are very much aggrieved. So just to give them protection, Your chariot is also here, filled with military weapons. And I request you to sit down on your chariot and kill all these soldiers, the entire military strength of the enemy. Naturally, both of us have descended upon this earth just to annihilate such unnecessary, bellicose forces and to give protection to the pious devotees. And so, we have the opportunity now to fulfill our mission. Please, let us execute it. Thus, Krishna and Balaram, the descendants of King Dasharatha, decided to annihilate the 13 military companies of Jarasandha. Krishna then went upon the chariot, on which Daruka was the driver, and with a small army, and to the blowing of conch shells, Krishna came out of the city of Mathura. Curiously enough, although the other party was equipped with greater military strength, just after hearing the vibration of Krishna's conch shell, their hearts were shaken. When Jarasandha saw both Balaram and Krishna, he was a little bit compassionate, because both Krishna and Balaram happened to be related to him as grandsons. Jarasandha specifically addressed Krishna as Purushadhama, which means the lowest among men. But actually, Krishna is known in all Vedic literatures as Purushottama, the highest among men. Jarasandha had no intention of addressing Krishna as Purushottama, but great scholars have determined that the true meaning of the word Purushadhama means one who makes all other personalities go downward. Actually, no one can be equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jarasandha then said, "It will be a great dishonor for me to fight with boys like Krishna and Balaram." Because Krishna had killed Kamsa, Jarasandha specifically addressed Krishna as the killer of his own relatives. Kamsa had killed so many of his own nephews, and yet Jarasandha did not take notice of it. But because Krishna had killed his maternal uncle Kamsa, Jarasandha tried to criticize Krishna. So that is the way of demoniac dealing. Demons do not try to find their own faults, but try to find the faults of their friends. Jarasandha also criticized Krishna for not even being a Kshatriya. Because Krishna was raised by Maharaj Nanda, Krishna was not a Kshatriya, but a Vaishya. Vaishyas are generally called Guptas, and the word Gupta can also be used to mean hidden. So, Krishna was both hidden and raised by Nanda Maharaj. Jarasandha accused Krishna of three faults: that Krishna killed his own maternal uncle, that Krishna was hidden in his childhood, and that Krishna was not even a Kshatriya, and therefore Jarasandha felt ashamed to fight with him. So next, Jarasandha turned towards Balaram. "You, Balaram, if you like, you can fight along with Krishna. And if you have patience, then you can wait to be killed by my arrows. And thus, you can be promoted to heaven." It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that a Kshatriya can become benefited in two ways while fighting. If a Kshatriya gains victory in the fight, he enjoys the results of victory. But even if he is killed in the fight, The Kshatriya is promoted to the heavenly kingdom. So after hearing Jarasandha speak in that way, Krishna answered, "My dear King Jarasandha, those who are heroes do not talk much. Rather, they show their prowess. Because you are talking much, it appears that you are assured of your death in this battle. We do not care to hear you anymore, because it is useless to hear the words of a person who is going to die, or one who is very distressed." In order to fight with Krishna, Jarasandha surrounded Krishna from all sides with great military strength. And the sun appeared covered by the cloudy air and dust. Similarly, Krishna, the Supreme Sun, was covered by the military strength of Jarasandha. Krishna and Balaram's chariots were marked with pictures of Garuda and palm trees. The women of Mathura were all standing on the tops of houses, palaces, and gates to see the wonderful fight. But when Krishna's chariot was surrounded by Jarasandha's military force, they became so frightened that some of them fainted. Krishna then saw himself overwhelmed by the military strength of Jarasandha. His small number of soldiers were being harassed by them, and so Krishna immediately took up his bow named Sharanga. Krishna then began to take his arrows from their case, and one after another set them on the bowstring, shooting them towards the enemy. The arrows were so accurate that the elephants, horses, and infantry soldiers of Jarasandha were quickly killed. The incessant arrows thrown by Krishna appeared as a whirlwind of blazing fire, killing all the military strength of Jarasandha. As Krishna released his arrows, gradually all the elephants began to fall down, their heads severed by the arrows. Similarly, all the horses fell, and the chariots also, along with their flags. The chariot fighters and the chariot drivers fell as well. Almost all the infantry soldiers fell on the field of battle, their heads, hands, and legs cut off. In this way, many thousands of elephants and horses were killed, and their blood began to flow just like the waves of a river. In that river, the severed arms of the men appeared to be snakes, their heads appeared to be tortoises, and the dead bodies of the elephants appeared to be small islands. The dead horses appeared to be sharks. And so by the arrangement of the Supreme Will, there was a great river of blood filled with paraphernalia. The hands and legs of the infantry soldiers were floating like seaweed, and the floating bows of the soldiers appeared to be waves of the river. And all the jewelry from the bodies of the soldiers and commanders appeared to be so many pebbles flowing down the river of blood. Lord Balaram, who is also known as Sankarsana, began to fight with his club in such a heroic way that the river of blood created by Krishna overflooded. Those who were cowards became very much afraid upon seeing this ghastly and horrible scene, and those who were heroes began to talk delightedly among themselves about the heroism of the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. Although Jarasandha was equipped with a vast ocean of military strength, the fighting of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram converted the whole situation into a ghastly scene, which was far beyond ordinary fighting. Persons of ordinary mind cannot estimate how it could be possible. But when such activities are accepted as pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose will everything is possible, then this can be understood. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is creating, maintaining, and dissolving the cosmic manifestation by His will only. For Him to create such a vast scene of devastation while fighting with an enemy is not so wonderful. And yet, because Krishna and Balaram were fighting with Jarasandha, just like ordinary human beings, the affair did appear to be wonderful. And so, all the soldiers of Jarasandha were killed, and Jarasandha was the only one left alive. Certainly, Jarasandha became very depressed at this point. Sri Balaram immediately arrested Jarasandha, just as, with great strength, one lion captures another lion. But while Lord Balaram was binding Jarasandha with the ropes of Varuna and ordinary ropes also, Lord Krishna, with a greater plan in mind for the future, asked Balaram not to arrest Jarasandha. Jarasandha was then released by Krishna. As a great fighting hero, Jarasandha became very much ashamed, and so he decided that he would no longer live as a king, but would resign from his position in the royal order and go to the forest to practice meditation under severe austerities and penances. However, as Jarasandha was returning home with other royal friends, they advised him not to retire, but to regain strength in order to fight once again with Krishna in the near future. The princely friends of Jarasandha began to instruct him that ordinarily it would not have been possible for Jarasandha to have been defeated by the strength of the Yadu kings, but the defeat which he had experienced was simply due to Jarasandha's ill luck. Thus, the princely order encouraged King Jarasandha. His fighting, they said, was certainly heroic, and therefore Jarasandha should not take his defeat very seriously, as it was due only to his past mistakes. After all, there was no fault in his fighting. In this way, Jarasandha, the king of Magadha province, having lost all his strength and having been insulted by his arrest and subsequent release, could do nothing but return to his kingdom. Thus, Lord Krishna conquered the soldiers of Jarasandha. Although Krishna's army was tiny in comparison to Jarasandha's, not a pinch of Krishna's strength was lost, whereas all of Jarasandha's men were killed. At that time, the denizens of heaven became very pleased and began to offer their respects, chanting in glorification of Lord Krishna and showering him with flowers. The denizens of heaven accepted Krishna's victory with great appreciation. Jarasandha returned to his kingdom, and Mathura city was made safe from the danger of an imminent attack. The citizens of Mathura organized the combined services of a circus of professional singers like sutas, Magadhas, and poets who could compose nice songs. They began to chant the victory glorification of Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna entered the city after his victory, many bugles, conches, and kettledrums were sounded, and the vibrations of various musical instruments like bairya, turya, veena, flute, and mridanga all joined together to make a beautiful reception. And while Krishna was entering, the whole city was very much cleansed. All the different streets and roads were sprinkled with water, and the inhabitants, being joyous, decorated their respective houses, roads, and shops with flags and festoons. Brahmanas chanted Vedic hymns at numerous places. The people constructed road crossings, entrances, lanes, and streets. When Lord Krishna was entering the nicely decorated city of Mathura in such a festive attitude, the ladies and girls of Mathura prepared different kinds of flower garlands to make the ceremony more auspicious. In accordance with Vedic custom, they took yogurt mixed with freshly grown green grass and began to strew it here and there just to make the victory celebration even more auspicious. As Krishna passed through the street, all the ladies and women began to regard Krishna with great affection. Krishna and Balaram carried various kinds of booty, ornaments, and jewels carefully collected from the battlefield and presented all of this to King Ugrasena. Krishna thus offered his respect to his grandfather because Ugrasena was at that time the crowned king of the Yadu dynasty. Jarasandha, the king of Magadha, not only besieged the city of Mathura once, but he attacked it 17 times in the same way, equipped with the same number of military phalanxes, and each and every time Jarasandha was defeated and his soldiers were all killed by Krishna. And each time Jarasandha had to return disappointed in the same way. And each time, the princely order of the Yadu dynasty would arrest Jarasandha in the same way and again release him in an insulting manner. And each time, Jarasandha shamelessly returned home. Thus ends chapter 49, scene 1. Krishna defeats Jarasandha for the first time. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.